Genesis 20. And we're going to start. This is a story. Amen. And it's about Father Abraham when he first started going out on his journey. Okay. And we'll read more about it. Let's go ahead and get started. Genesis 20, start with verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there toward the south country and dwelt between Kedesh and Shur and sojourned in Gergar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Amalek, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Amalek in a dream by night and said unto him, now listen to what God tells him, okay? He says, behold, thou art a dead man. Imagine having a dream when God wake you up and say, behold, you're a dead man walking. What's the first thing you're going to think? Why in the world, what did I do? Okay? And we go on, it goes on to say, it says, behold, thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. But Amalek had not come near her. That means he hadn't touched her. And he said, Lord, will thou slay also a righteous nation? She said, not unto me. Said she not unto me, she is my sister. And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands, I have done it. He said, basically, I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't know. They told me that was his sister. They, you know. And God said unto him in his dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee. You hear that? I withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, I suffered thee not to touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that is thine. And Amalek rose early in the morning and called his servant and told all things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, and we take the keys, we bind every demonic stronghold that would try to rise up or try to exalt itself against the word this morning. God, we ask that you just cast it underneath our feet in the name of Jesus. We loose your Holy Ghost Spirit and power and anointing to go forth, dear God. I ask that you open the hearts and ears of the people here to be able to receive from you and anoint my tongue, body, soul, and mind that I speak only your words. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So here's Abraham, and God sent him away from his family. God told him to go. He said, just go walking in the desert. He says, you just take off and leave everything and everyone behind. Amen. You're talking about having to have faith in God to be able to trust, to be able to do that. But his wife was so beautiful that it was his half-sister. And she was so beautiful that when they came up on different nations, he'd say, say you're my sister, so that way they don't kill me for you and take you. You see, as long as they thought, well, that's my husband, that's my wife, then they couldn't commit adultery. But if they killed you, isn't that crazy? They'll commit murder. They won't commit adultery, but they'll commit murder. They'll kill you, and then they're legally able to take your wife, okay? And that's what he was scared of. And when he seen how beautiful he was, he brought the woman into his harem of wives. You know, they had many wives. And when he went to sleep, God told him, he says, you're a dead man. And he says, well, why, what have I done? She's, you know, because you took this man's wife. He said, look, she said that was her brother, and he said that was her sister. I've done this in my integrity. I haven't done anything wrong. Are you going to slay the righteous? Amen. What did God say after that? Look at what he said. Look at 6. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou did this in the integrity of thy heart. So God knew that he was innocent. But yet, he still placed what on him? A death sentence. He told him, you're a dead man. You understand that? He said, I know you did this in your integrity. I know you did it in your integrity. And then he says, and then he goes on to say, for I withheld thee from sinning against me. So you done sinned against the prophet, but I kept you from sinning against me. And when I read that, I thought, how beautiful is it that God will love you enough that will withhold you from sinning against him. Amen? So people say, well, God won't keep you from... Well, see, here's the deal. God will warn you. And that's how he withheld him. He warned him, okay? That's what it means to be withheld from sinning. God warned him in that dream, look, you done messed up. And by you messing up, you're a dead man. And I suggest you don't take this a step further. Because if you do, it's going to come on you and everybody else. So by one man's sin, you hear me? By your one sin, a lot of times we think, well, I'll sin and it ain't going to hurt nobody. But by your one sin, it can affect a whole lot of somebodies. You understand that? Then I'll go over to Genesis. I mean to 1 Corinthians. Then we'll come back over to Genesis. 1 Corinthians 10. And we're going to read verse 13. The Word of God says, there hath no temptation taken you, but which is common unto men. Now listen here. This is what it says. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way escape that you may be able to bear it. So God allowed him, for one, not to sin against him. He allows you, look at here, not to sin against him. Do you comprehend that? And with every temptation, he will leave you a way of escape. So basically, God comes to you the exact same way. He says, listen, sin lays at the door. And it's seeking to overcome you. But I'm going to leave a way for you to escape. Amen? And he says, listen, I want you to take that way, because if you don't, sin brings forth what? Death. But many people go to Genesis 3 and save your spot in Genesis 20. But Genesis 3, what happened there? And I know we're bouncing around. I'm going to bring it all together for you, I promise. We got to do a little teaching before we get into some preaching. Amen? Genesis 3, and we'll read 3 through 6. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest what? You die. You see, God's all about you, death. And he's like, look, you mess up, you got it coming. You know what I'm saying? He said, look, you die. And the serpent said to the woman, well, you shall not surely die. Ain't that the way the devil does it? For God knows that in this day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. And the woman saw. Now look what the woman did. She did what? What's the first thing she did? She saw. It says, she saw that the tree was good for fruit, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Amen? So what is the same thing that Amalek did? He looked with his eyes. He saw how beautiful she was. And he said, hey, I'm going to make her my woman. I'm going to take her and make her my wife. And the same way that God turned around and spoke to the woman and said, look, don't touch it. Don't look at it. Don't have anything to do with it. And don't look at the fruit. And here's where everybody looks at fruit as the apple. Don't look at the fruit as the apple. Look at the fruit as sin. And sin is hanging on a tree. Amen. And guess what? Sin looks good. Sin is pretty. Sin is desirable. Sin will make you want it. Sin will cause you to desire it. And you will lust after it. And you will want it with everything you have off inside of you. Amen. So whatever your little sin is, that's your piece of fruit. But God says, do not touch it, lest you die. Amen. And the same way he did with Amalek, he said, listen, you're a dead man, but I'm telling you now, you better restore, because then death's going to happen to you and all of them. I know you did it in your integrity, but I left you a way out. Ain't that what we learned? He left him a way out. Amalek right then could have let his own selfish desires, hallelujah, look at what Cain and Abel, or not Cain, but look at Adam and Eve. What did Eve do? She went ahead and took the fruit, didn't she? It's not going to affect nobody but me. Then she turned around and gave the fruit to who? Her husband. And this is how selfish people are, okay? They think it's only going to affect me. But then when they get the fruit, they turn around and go to their friend and say, here, have some of my fruit. And then they cause their friend to eat the fruit. And they think it ain't going to affect nobody, but behind them two people, behind Adam's sin, do you realize it killed every single person from that point on in his loins? All of us then got a death sentence. Are you hearing me? It was not meant for us to die. It was meant for us to live in a garden, to be happy, to walk with God, to have it going on, to eat good fruit, to drink good water, and to be blessed. That's God's plan and purpose for you. It still is God's plan and purpose for you. But people still today, they partake of the fruit of sin and they eat it and they think it's not going to affect them. And then it affects them. It affects their children. It affects their children's children. It affects their friends. It affects everyone around them. And then they say, why is this happening? What have I done wrong? What am I doing? How am I messing up? Why is all this bad stuff come upon my home or my house or my family or my children? What did the innocent person do? Didn't you read where God said he was going to kill him and everybody, Amalekites, you'll wipe out everybody if you sin. Adam and Eve, if you sin, it's going to affect everyone. Do you understand that? And everybody thinks, well, I'll just sin and it's only going to affect me. It's not only going to affect you. Do you hear me? Ask a daddy's, a mommy and a daddy, ask their children, does daddy's drinking affect you? Does mommy's going out and partying affect you? Does your children being misbehaving affect you? Everything affects every single one. Do you comprehend that? So it's not just one person's sin that's going to get affected. And God said, listen, you're going to pay a price. Okay? And people don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. And the reason why they don't want to hear that, but let's, I can't wait to keep going, but I got to give you one more passage of scripture, and it's back in Genesis 20. It's going to show you right there in Genesis 20, and we'll start with verse 14. And Amalek took sheep and oxen and maidservants, men servants and woman servants, and gave them unto Abraham, and he restored him his wife. So he did the right thing, didn't he? He didn't eat the fruit. He did what was right. And Amalek said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell there, it pleases thee. And he said unto Sarah, behold, I will give unto thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is thy covering of thy eyes unto all that's with thee and all other. And she is reproved. And so Abraham prayed unto God, and he healed Amalek of his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. And the Lord had listen what the Lord had done. For the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Amalek. So now he affected the men and was going to kill them. He closed up all the wombs of the women. Every one of them. You hear that? Shut them up. Why? Because the women brings forth the kingdoms. She brings forth kings. She brings forth the nation. He shut up all the wombs. That thing was done. By him going to another man's wife, his own women's wombs were going to be closed. Do you get that?